on frequency.
CVA.
Call sometime. Just to a phone. Phone number. Because what I got is, here's what I got. I got a problem with passwords. That's, I don't have a computer yet, and I can't use a computer without a computer. And what happened is, when my password got messed up, when Spectrum was messing with me, I need to talk to someone at Consumer Center because my password doesn't match. I don't have a mailbox, so I need someone to call customer service. I got the number to let them know to call them to call me, and I can discuss this to fix it. I got their number. I just need someone to call and give them my phone number to solve this.
Well, if you have a phone number, you have a phone, don't you?
Get straightened out. I can't dial out. Someone's got to call their customer service to straighten it out because the mailbox number doesn't match the password, so it'll let people call me, but I can't dial out to solve it. And I don't have a landline, so I can't do it that way. Somebody has to call that number and tell them to call me so I can deal with customer service. It's something customer service has to do, and not, it's a computer issue, not a phone issue. But I don't know my mailbox number because I can't see to read it, and I don't know it. That's why someone's got to call it for me. I got the number to call. I just can't call it. I need my number to call me back so I can talk to customer service. We can fix it.
I'll have to get something to write it down.
No problem.
Then give me the number you need for me to call.
For local in-country numbers, do you need one? Some phone companies need the one, some need the one. I'll give you the number with the one, depending on your phone provider. It's 1-888-345-5509. I don't know if you need the one. My phone number is 864-382-6108. And just tell customer service there's a problem with mailbox and I can't get into it. I can't see to fix it. I'm not sure what, and just have them call me back and then I can fix it. I'm not sure if you need a one or not.
Give me the 888 number again. Just the, the last 7 digits.
Alright, you got the 3-8, so you need the last. Okay, I'm going to go slowly. 3-4-5-5-5-0-9.
888-3-4-5-5-5-0-9. And your number is 382-6108.
A mailbox number because I don't know how to put a SIM card in a computer and I can't do it. And I need to talk to customer service so I get my mailbox number to fix this thing. That's what's going on.
Okay. Well, I need to give them your name.
Lincoln. Yes, Alan Lincoln in Malden, South Carolina. That way they'll know who it is.
It's
a weird problem. They probably don't know. I've never had this happen before. Well, I see how this call up and let me know in here what happens.
Can you give me your call sign again, please?
It is 864-382-6108.
Ham radio call sign.
India 4, Mike Lima, November.
Sure. MLN, okay. All right, I'll try to get back to you in just a few minutes here, KB4CBA. They're asking for the last four of your social.
1858.
Say again.
That was
858.
Al, can you give me your last four of your social again?
At least it's not Monday morning. Signal is.
Yeah, 4MLN, KB4CBA. Experiencing high call volume at this time, so they're going to call me back. So I'll call you when they call me back.
I just kind of fixed it. Like I said, what it is I don't have SIM cards so my family's screwing around and I can't, they don't understand. Without a mailbox number, I can't fix it. So that's what it is. Yeah, no problem. You know, when you get time, I'm just, they told us 500 not today. It's next weekend, isn't it?
Sure, exactly what you're trying to do. So, hopefully this will work.
Is my mailbox, I have a flip phone, and without a SIM card, you can't text anyone with this wreck, because you can't text with this junk. When you can't see, you can't, they gotta get customer service, they gotta help me. I don't know my own mailbox number, because I don't have one, because I can't read whatever it was.
A cell phone.
God, because they don't have landlines anymore, because they're all through cell phone lines. See what happens. I see when they call me back, that's all. Call them. At least you gave them a call sign, to give me information, so they should be able to know who I am, to look it up, and we can see what we can do about this frequency. And I'm going to turn the TV on, see if I can find what is the time trial for day 12 500. It's a race. I thought it was next weekend, though. Let's see what happens.
Well, I guess I'm just a little good. You should be able to call them yourself.
Hey, I can't call nobody. Like I told you, you cannot, you call, you did what I needed you to do. As long as they call me back, I'm good. If they don't, I cannot call out. There's no, you cannot dial that phone because it will not let you do it. This is why I was involved in until I fixed this password issue.
Gotcha. I'll give you a call on this frequency when they call me back.
Yeah, that's fine. I appreciate you. I know it's a pain in the neck. I'll tell you what, they've got the worst customer service of any phone provider I've ever seen in my life.
I wouldn't want the job. Oh, man. Yeah, most customer service people are pretty good to deal with. When I get some of them that are from India and places like that, have a real strong accent. I have trouble understanding what they're saying.
It's the corporate heads of the companies. It's not the customer service. The customer service has been great. It's not them. It's the policies that they have that are lousy. That's what it is. It's not the people themselves. Matter of fact, times when you deal with them, you know, I try to be polite with everybody when I can, and I understand that what it really should be called is non-customer service, because that's what companies want. They don't want the problem resolved. That's what people don't understand.
I'm pulling in the driveway here, so I got lunch in the car here. I went through the drive-thru, so I'm going to take lunch inside of my wife, and we'll have lunch, and hopefully by that time they will have called me back.
Hey, yeah, we're ready to call. I'll just nail on food. I'll turn the TV on, see if the race is on today or something. Yeah, over here. No problem. I'll just leave this radio on the frequency.
So I'll talk to you in a little bit. KB4 CBA clear.
Oh, MLA clear. Jeff, how are you doing?
Just getting over a little bit of a cold, but other than that, doing pretty well. Yeah, I'm just on a base here at the house, running about 25 watts.
The thing is, if you should be around like 2 watts and hit it, well, we are, depends on where you are.
The base only goes down to 25, that's the minimum. The max is 110.
That's okay. I mean, 25 works. That's as low as it's got. I mean, if you need 25 watts, you can run 100 if you want. All the transmitter will do it. It doesn't really matter. It's just that the repeater's got a good signal going into it. It's going to repeat whatever's there. So, depending on where, if you're mobile, though, you might have to run 110 watts. You never know.
It's designed for public safety use mainly. So, level with a quarter watt. I grew up in a county that didn't have a repeater for a lot of fire and EMS, so they'd use 110 watt, mostly Maritracks in the mobile. They got one of those. They're pretty good, but it's kind of overkill. For long-winded conversations, you can turn the power back, but because of the PA design, you can't turn it back more than 25 watts.
No, sometimes you need that kind of power. I mean, cars are not a good spot for transfer signals because of the moving around, all the garbage that they go through. But sometimes you gotta run that kind of power. You know what I mean? Technically, if you had 1,000 watts, it might be a good idea if you can use it. But you don't really need that much power. But sometimes you need a little power.
Propagation is a big. It depends on a lot of variables. That's for sure. Spend a lot of time modeling repeater coverage and things like that, and it's amazing how small things can affect attenuation, antenna design, you name it.
Common temperature inversions and that kind of thing. You know, we've been getting a lot of kind of weird conditions where the bands that open up, you know, where 2 meters is actually opened up, so. You know, then you can signal from far away, mixing and doubling with things. It makes things very complicated.
Crazy report the other day on Facebook, and it was like this guy apparently, I guess he thought he'd picked up a station somewhere in Nova Scotia, and he was in New York. I don't know the details, but it was on Simplex. I don't know what he was doing. He might have been doing some sort of FT8 on VHF.
You never know as far as that goes. You can get 1,200-1,300 miles sometimes. It happens.
Throw something on charge. K4BAN. Hey, I had a Bluetooth speaker mic. It was beeping at me. I had to put it on the charger. I was using it, and it pretty much is dead now.
Lithium-ion batteries are not as great as they're cracked up to be. And if you have charger problems, they blow up, they melt down, they burn places down, they run all kinds of damage. Lithium-ion batteries are not the smartest idea.
Roger. I had pretty good luck. This one I hadn't charged in 2 or 3 quote-unquote equivalent day uses, so it's probably well beyond the time to charge. I think this one only lasts 8 or 9 hours, and I've probably used it 12, but I needed to get around to charging it, but I don't know, this seemed to work. I got some of this lithium iron phosphate or whatever it is, the battery packs. I need to try those and see for the QRP type stuff.
Just not a good idea. The chargers do fail. I've seen it a lot of times. The batteries blow up. if you don't put them in a fireproof case, you can lose things and things happen like that. It's just, they're just not a good idea.
When I'm not home, so that's probably the big thing, is just to make sure you, a lot of the public safety ones I use are pretty well tested and good quality chargers. So that's the, a lot of the Chinese stuff like Baofeng and all that, I wouldn't charge it unless I was at home.
That's why we can't have them make our, build our bridges. You know, people are stupid. Chinese steel is crap.
A lot of things, you gotta have good quality control, and obviously some places have more than others, but I've had a pretty good, mostly good experience from some of the lot of electronics I've ordered. There are a lot of, a few little bugs, but nothing I couldn't work around. Personally, I guess the general public probably wouldn't like some of the bugs.
They got rid of the lead and the solder, using that silver solder crap. Coal solder joints are all over the place because of that. The steel, you know, I've had engines fail, oil pumps fail, crankshafts break in half, all kinds of stuff. It's just total crap.
Yeah, the quality does live around, I guess. It's interesting. I don't know.
This is that everyone in this country isn't smart enough to let us manufacture stuff here. And people are so dumb, they don't understand the importance of doing things properly and doing them themselves and not putting too much scrap metal in the steel.
Yeah, it's definitely the purity's got to be right. But, I don't know, we'll see how everything works out in the end, I guess.
Got in, he was getting killed. As a matter of fact, I don't know if you noticed, did you hear about the front end recall on some of the cars? I think it was, I don't remember which car manufacturer it was, but remember I was saying on the air about stress fatigue and front end parts? Well, one of the manufacturers, I can't remember if it was Ford, it might have been Ford, they just had 500,000 recalls for stress fatigue and front end parts in cars. I've been working on cars for 35, 40 years. My brother saw it out in the field at North Hills Reworks, and we were both shocked. I've never seen, it's junk. People don't pay attention.
It's, gotta have good, I guess, destructive testing or something before you put it in the car. Quality control in your supply chain.
People don't understand, quality control cannot find a structural defect in the steel and our parts until it's worked. So until it's cycled and heated and cooled and beat around for a while on the elements and gets hot, you don't know what it's going to do.
True. Wow, I just looked out on eBay looking at something and make a 350-watt amplifier. That's impressive.
What frequency is it for?
The fire for VHF. Wow, that would be... I guess you could use that if you had a multi-site voted system and you have one transmitter site.
Well, some places you might need to go far enough, you might need to do that to get your coverage area.
You could get an area and put like 7 or 8 receivers around, like say the mountains are the way to do, place to do it. And then you put a transmitter on one high mountain and you dump all the power there out. And then you pipe all the receivers back to a voter comparator. And that votes on which one's the better signal received, and that's what gets retransmitted. And so a couple of things, you get all the power out. It's a straight transmitter. You don't go through a duplex, or you aren't losing any injection, you don't have any injection loss. And you don't desense your receivers because your receivers are all in the far field.
Duplexes now that have less than 1% loss. It's a till 3% rule doesn't apply anymore. TV is not the rule anymore. They've got better ones than that.
To get our tight, mostly tight ham VHF stuff that you have to have, as you get closer in your frequency separation, your injection, your insertion loss goes up. It's almost proportional to frequency separations. And 600 kilohertz is pretty tight. You get out in the commercial spectrum, and you can get 8, 9 megahertz apart on the VHF repeater if you get a good frequency pair.
So they still do it all the time. You're right. As close to the separation, the harder it is to keep it because the higher Q in the circuit. But, you know, it... there's so many issues that people don't realize. But like I said, you know, the more broadband, the less the Q has to be in the circuit. So therefore, the tighter it has to be. That's why one of the problems with video on AM with TV sets and things like that, you got to use the video. You got to use a wide. The antenna has to be such a wide frequency range that it's hard to get the gain out of it, and then you have to realize that with digital frequencies it's worse because they're using more bandwidth and more subcarriers off it, and then you got to make things tighter, and it gets complicated, and you got to lose more power.
And yeah, like this is looking. Channel wave stuff down, it's like 1.5 dB, so yeah, it's not as bad as it used to be, that's for sure. It's interesting how that all, I've got a set of cans now, I need to tune for VHF.
One of the reasons we have a problem on Caesar's head that we do, yeah, formula that, is that when they went to digital, see that system in Europe is great because Europe's a small continent, doesn't have the things spaced out like we do, so, and digital signals have the unfortunate problem of they're either there or not there, so what they had to do, YFF has a pretty big coverage area, so to get that back, they had, since they went to a higher frequency, they had to run more power. Due to the fact, now they got to run 1 million watts, whereas before they only ran 50,000 watts, so now you're complicating things with more RF on the mountain.
That's interesting. Yeah.
I want to go up there one day with a fluorescent light bulb and see what happens. I bet you I walk around there with a fluorescent light bulb by that review and I bet it lights up.
That'd be funny. Well, I got to run. I'll talk with you later. Good talking with you. I'm going to get a couple of things done before I get to go back to work tomorrow. 73, I'll be clear our final K4BA.
That 73 is kind of funny in a conversation with you.